I would like to read in the book of the Revelation, the book of the Revelation. Well-known phrases I just want to pick up in this last book, prophetic book of our Bible. And we're going to read firstly in Revelation chapter 7. Verse 9, after this I beheld and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Verse number 13, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are the red and white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God, and serve him day and night. Now, I would like to read another verse, please, in this great book, and we want to look at chapter 5. Verse 9, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on or over the earth. Just go back a few verses, please. Verse number 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. And we'll drop down, please, to verse number 13. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I say, Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. Chapter 6, please, for a reference. Verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth and fur, and the moon became as blood. Verse number 15. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, said unto the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? The final reference, please, and end of the book. Revelation. And chapter 21. Verse 23, And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. The nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, nor maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. I will not complicate you by going into the book of the Revelation in relation to its tremendous dramas and all the unfolding of divine purpose that will be culminated in God and Christ being glorified eternally and ushering in a new heaven and a new earth. That's not what's on my mind. I just want to pick up a few expressions that a boy or a girl in this meeting, young, could pick up very simply, that you could take home with you. I want to look at the expression
of those of whom it is written, it says, they had washed the robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. I want to use that expression very simply in this meeting, the blood of the Lamb. Secondly, we're going to look at another expression found in chapter 5. The expression is really the song of the Lamb. They sang a new song, and their song is absolutely centered upon one tremendous theme. And that theme is the blood of the Lamb. It's the song of the Lamb. We want to look at what it says in Revelation chapter 21. And that is to do with another expression, the book of the Lamb. The book, the Lamb's book of life. And in that book are inscribed everyone redeemed by precious blood. And what we want to try to get across to our audience is this, that everyone that's going to heaven, that will land in that fair place called heaven, and be in the new heavens eternally, three things are true of them tonight. They've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. They sing the song of the Lamb. And their names are written in the book of the Lamb. So keep that before you. Finally, by the help of God, we want to look at another expression, solemn. At the beginning of those dreadful days that are going to come upon our world, on planet Earth, nothing, my friend, like the Gulf War or wars that are past. Those are only picnics. What's going to happen in our world, in trip hammer blows, the tremendous wrath of God that will descend, and at the beginning of the descent of those judgments, men quake. And what they're saying, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? Now that's only the beginning of a 3.5 period of time. Only at the beginning of it. They're feeling, my friend, the intensity of the wrath of God. What bothers me tonight, and I would love to get it across to you, there could be some that we are speaking of to tonight, and you could be in that period. The only thing that holds that back tonight, Christ hasn't come for his people. First of all, my friend, we want to look at the expression, the blood of the Lamb. We touched this before, but we make no apology for repeating the tremendous theme of our Bible from Genesis to Revelation. There's a red line goes right through. From Genesis to Revelation, it's the red line that speaks of the value of the blood of Christ, indicative of this particular truth, that the only way that God could cleanse sin, the only way that God could forgive sin, the only way that God could make a sinner right with himself, the only way God could take a sinner to heaven, is all based on the foundational truth of the blood of the Lamb. That's taken us to the cross, where the Lord Jesus shed his blood, and the value of that blood has all the potency and power to cleanse the sinner from his sins. I know that this is in the prophetic page where I've read in chapter 7, but I just want to pick up the principle right through our Bible, that my friend, the blood of the Lamb is the great foundation upon which God cleanses and makes the sinner right with him. Such is the value of it. You see, those that come to our meetings, and I hope I'm simple and clear, and my friend down on ABC of the gospel, that my friend, every one of us, born in sin, born in that broad road, under the condemnation of God, all sinners, according to the word of God, the verdict is clear. All of sin come short of the glory of God. God is trying to tell us from the threshold of our Bible to the end of the Bible, there's only one way sins can be removed, forgiven, and only one way sins could be cleansed. It's through the value of the blood of Christ as the Lamb of God. I want to ask you something. Has there ever been a time in your life when you appreciated as a sinner on the broad road, exposed to judgment, and you come into the blessed, glorious, emancipating truth
that the precious blood of Christ has satisfied God about my sins.
That's what it is to be saved. I remember hearing the late David Craig tell the incident that he experienced himself when he was in a certain area in Northern Ireland preaching the gospel with the late Mr. Joe Stewart. One was a rough preacher and the other was a very accurate preacher. Had a great vocabulary, Mr. Craig. Delight to listen to. Mr. Joe Stewart was rather rough and uncouth. They called him the man with the big hands and the big heart and the big feet. But that's what Mr. Joe Stewart was like. God used him as a great soul winner.
They saw a number of souls saved. Quite a number. And they decided after those souls got saved, they would have a little company established for God in that city.
Mr. Stewart, being an older man, he didn't go to work so much as Mr. Craig went.
They went down to put in the foundation of the hall that they were going to build, and Mr. Craig had his coat off, his shirt sleeves rolled up, but he just worked with the rest of those who had got saved to build a hall.
There was a fine-dressed gentleman, no reflection, that's not my purpose of telling the story, no reflection in the man's background. He was a religious leader in a certain particular place. And as he was passing by, when Mr. Craig was busy helping the other folks to put in the foundation, this man said, sarcastically, as he looked at the preacher, "That's as far as you will ever make it to heaven. You are right now." He was a man that didn't believe in the blood. And he didn't believe in the Bible.
Mr. Craig said, "My first reaction was to retaliate." But he says, "I thought over it." And he says, "Be a gentleman. God will give you the opportunity."
And so the man passed on, and I believe it was within the next week, a Saturday, when the million crowds were going on the fair day through the town and through the city, and they were selling their wares. It was a big day. Mr. Craig was walking down the footpath on one side, and he saw the other man walk down the other side with his wife. And he stopped, and he halted, and he looked across. He says, "Dear sir, just a moment. Would you allow me to sing a hymn
and get your attention?"
The man stood with his wife and the crowd stood. Mr. Craig had a beautiful voice, lovely voice. And he started to sing, "On the golden streets of heaven, all men hope to walk someday. But so many are not willing to accept the narrow way. Some trust on good works or opinions if they may. Hallelujah, I'm depending on the blood. On the soul-cleansing blood of the Savior. I've been washed in the crimson tide. Though the world may say there's hope some other way. Hallelujah, I'm depending on the blood." That man listened to what we would call the gospel in a hymn. And it was in a nutshell, the value of the precious blood is the only title into the pearl-hung gates and into the bliss of glory. And without it, no man, no woman shall ever enter. I hope tonight our message is simple. You tonight, sinner before God, lost in your sins, the broad road. You're looking for a way to be sure of heaven. You'll never find it apart from the value of the death and shedding of the blood of Christ. And we hope tonight you're sheltered under it. Dr. Harrenside took 45 minutes in one meeting just to take the little subject on the blood of Christ. That was all the subject was, the precious blood of Christ. A reporter came in to take down the notes. And she sat at the back with her little notebook open, taking down supposedly notes of the preacher sermon. But once he started to preach, she closed her book, put it down the floor. Haughty, proud, didn't like the preaching of the precious blood of Christ. Going out, Mr. Ironside standing at the door shaking hands. the doctor, and this woman comes out, toiling hotly, and looks at him, says, "I'm surprised, Dr. Ironside, that a man of your intelligence would speak upon such a common thing as love." Said Dr. Harry Ironside, "My dear lady, what you call common, my Lord calls precious, and it's the only title to eternal glory." My friend tonight, let's sweep into this meeting. May God be pleased to get past the preacher and get right down into the shafts of your soul and into the depths of your being, that you'll understand as you look at this broad road upon which we all started, that the only way I can be sure of heaven and placed upon the narrow way is all in the value of the eternal foundational truth, the blood of Christ. "Whence are these," says the writer, "who come, whence are these that are red and white robes?" And the answer is this: these are they that have come through great tribulation and have washed the robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. You see, friend, when it's all analyzed, and right now when the tire hits the road, there's not one in this meeting I carefully said and thoughtfully said, there's not one in this meeting, gallery, or in the body of the hall, have got one stitch of their own righteousness that can meet the eye of God. The Bible so clearly says, we are always an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses, our best deeds, are as filthy rags. Therefore, my friend, we need a cleansing. And I like the hymn, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I hope tonight at the back of this hall, could we get your ear? Could you give me your attention? By the help of God, I would like to put into your mind a truth that would be embedded by the power of the Holy Spirit. You'll never make it to heaven. You'll never sing the songs of redemption. You'll never walk the golden street. You'll never join that, my friend, band of redeemed ones, if you have not firstly put your faith in the body of the dead and blood of Christ. Where do you stand? They'll run out after people that come up to the front. I don't know where they get that idea. Christ is as much in the back as the front. I don't know where they get that idea. Like something of man's effort, something that you can do nothing, friend. Hymn writer put it well, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for rest, by thy to the fountain fly. Cleanse me, Savior, or I die." I would like to ask you personally tonight, what are you depending on for heaven? What is your foundation for heaven? What lies between your soul and eternal judgment? I'll never forget going into a hospital in the BC Halifax. I was asked to go in, and someone had given me a little note that to introduce me, I had to read this little note to this lady. "This is Albert Hull. I'm sending him here to have a little talk with you." Signed by a lady that knew her. That woman was about 80 years of age. I went into that hospital and went into that private room. There were railings round the bed. Lying in that bed was a little woman, possibly around 60 to 70 pound weight. When I looked at her, I was impressed with this: "You're not here for very long. The clock is ticking down." I introduced myself. Immediately I told her I was a preacher of the gospel. She looked at me, she said, "Mister, can you help me? My religion has left me, and I'm going out into the dark." She said, "Have you got anything that would help me?" Never forget it. It lives with me right now. I remember putting my lips down to her ear and pouring into that woman. She was dying with cancer. And I tried to pour into her the gospel. I told her about the value of the blood. I told her about the preciousness of the death of Christ. I told her that God loved her. I tried to pour in as much as I could, concisely, slowly, and personally. As soon as I finished my sentences, she said, "Sir, it's all dark. Can you help me?" I thought to myself, what am I going to say? I lifted a little prayer to God and I said, "Oh God, help me in this ward. I don't know what to tell her." Then I said to myself, "Well, tell her how you got saved." So I poured into her ear simply in about a matter of 3 minutes how God saved me and how I was sure of heaven if it was me on the bed about to go into eternity. That I had it all settled. Again, she come back with the words. They almost sting me in my soul tonight. She come back, she said, "Please, sir, it's all dark. Can you help me?" Just when I was talking about 15 minutes, in come her husband. I didn't know him. I had to introduce. I put my arm around his shoulder and I looked into his face. I said, "My name is Albert Howell. I preach the gospel." And I said, "I was told to come in and see your dear wife and talk to her." And the big tears rolled down his cheeks. He knew his wife was dying. He said, "Thank you very much." I felt my time had come to a conclusion when I should leave the two of them together. I said, "Do you mind if I pray?" He turned around and said, "Would you do that?" I said, "Yes." I prayed in that lonely room over a dying woman as best I could. It almost seemed like brass, to be quite honest with you. I didn't think I was getting anywhere. I left her. I walked out to the door. I opened the door of the ward. I'll never forget it. As I looked back before I closed the door, there's a woman. She propped herself up. There's a little railing around her bed, lest she fall out. And she propped herself up in those little bony arms. And I don't have to shout what she shouted. You'll hear it when I speak. "Mister, it's all dark. Can you help me?" I remember when I closed that door, I didn't care whether there were doctors or nurses or visitors walking up and down. I stopped right outside that door, like yesterday, and I just closed my eyes a moment. I says, "Oh God, thanks for dealing with me when I was 20. That I didn't leave it till I was 80 and over." The next morning, I inquired. My friends and I, listen, this is real. I don't tell that to pack my message. I tell it to you to be very sober and serious and real and earnest and urgent. That your soul's going down to death and to judgment. What you need is the value of that blood. It reconciles. It brings the sinner nigh to God. I'll quote the Bible. "Ye who sometimes were far off are brought near to God by the blood of Christ." It reconciles. Not only that, friend, it redeems the slave from the bondage of sin. What, my friend, brings a slave out of the slave market of sin in this broad road under the crowned head is the blood of Christ. That's the price he was paid to release the slave. I'll tell you another thing about it. It makes the guilty person right with God. Being justified, chapter 3 of Romans, being justified freely through his blood. So my friend, this blood of the Lamb of God is the only title, the only passport, the only foundation. Listen, I'm just gonna again whisper. What have you got for eternity?
tonight.
You know, we read about the Song of the Lamb. Now, I don't think we're going to talk about our present singing. We sang well tonight. That was fine. I love it. Sometimes we're not singing too well. That happens too. And I've seen myself in places where actually the man just couldn't get the note to start. And we got the wrong tune. Now that happens. That's not what's on my mind. What's on my mind is this, friend. Whether on earth or in heaven, there's a song begins within the person who has rested in the blood of the Lamb. And that song is this. Unto him who loved us and loosed us from our sins in his own blood. Or, chapter 5. Thou art worthy, for thou art slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. That song, friend, commenced in my soul. I didn't sing the night God saved me on the roadside. Who would have heard me? God would have heard me, but it was dark. And the birds were all nesting. They wouldn't have heard me. So anyway, friend, well, I'll tell you something. It commenced that night. Silently. And I've been singing it ever since for 41 years. That song is eternal. I was in the Word for a while, and some of you folks in this meeting know what I'm talking about. You know the top 20 to talk about? The top 20 songs in the world? And you get one up there at the top for about 2 months or 3 months, maybe only a couple of weeks, and it's ready again. It takes second place, third place, down to the bottom. Another one takes over. That's not the song of Revelation chapter 5. It remains at the top. It's not going to come down. It's not going to be reduced. It always remains, my friend, the top song of eternity. The blood of the slain Lamb. You know, when I got saved 41 years ago, I repeat this. I think you're tagged with me, but I'm not tagged on you. 41 years ago, I told my mother that day that God saved me, the dear soul, get up and wrapped her arms around me, whispered into my ear, the tigers come home, and I had a grand old handy gallop. Now, I was just saved in January, now comes April, we're going to go to the Easter camp and hand it inside. That leaves not in the hall for around about 5 years, at least. And, of course, I was looking forward to this. And so was my mom, and all the family. Never forget them through those swinging doors. And, you know, sometimes you see double in those days. It looks like 5,000, it's only 2,500. And maybe looked like 126 pictures, but only 56. But anyway, you know, my little mind looked and I saw that last audience. And I looked and I saw the gallery pack. And there were faces from Africa, and some from Japan, and some from other parts of the world, and they're all. I remember walking in there and I felt like, what's heaven going to be like? These are all angels here. I remember when they got up to sing hymns, I enjoyed them, but I never forget a hymn. The man gets out there on the platform, he said, we'll sing hymn number, such and such it was. All hear the power of Jesus. Never forget. And I had my little book in my heart. And I started, my little throat started to sing. Boy, I tell you, I stopped. I looked over and my mother, the tears were running down her face, and the tears were running down mine onto the left page of the handbook. And I thought to that verse, sinners whose lot can never be met. The wormwood and the gall who spread your trophies on his feet. Why, I can hear that thing almost raise the roof of the governor hall, crying out. And the sign to that one, you know, the one that goes right away down. Oh, I tell you, I just thought, I'm in heaven. Say, redeem, the blood, the song. I'm going to sing it forever. John Newton well put it. The three wonders of heaven. When I look at the vast region of souls redeemed, I'd be disappointed that some didn't get it. But I thought would, for some in this meeting, I say this carefully. With all your that if you were to ask me tonight, who do you think is the chief in the
John used to say. I look for some.
And then he says, I take a second look, and I say, yes, it's that far strong. I find there's some merit.
But I never thought of it.
I think, brother, when we get to heaven, we'll see people there from all parts of the world that we never anticipated we could call salvation.
And some of you in this meeting, you're under that category, myself included. Mr. John Thompson, the big policeman, put his hand on my three shoulders when I got free. He says, I never thought you would get it.
Oh, but that's not God. That's not God. Then he said the wonder, the third wonder of heaven was
that John knew before. And every one of us tonight can
echo that in our soul. That's the sentiment of our hearts. We're going to stand on the other side, washed in the blood of the Lamb, with the soul of the Lamb, with our names written in the book of the Lamb.
I didn't get to my last one to leave it.
If God grant us this meeting was on, I whisper again, what have you got for eternity tonight?